Diz Life Podcast is brought to you by Pinch of Pixie Dust Travel. People who love Disney understand that life isn't about the breaths you take, it's about the moments that take your breath away. That's why we help coordinate the most magical adventures for you and your family. Disney, Universal, Sandals, Norwegian, Carnival, and more, we are a full-service concierge travel agency that will help with every aspect of your journey. Let us take care of the details while you enjoy your family. Get a quote today by calling us at 570-832-7798 or fill out a trip request form at pinchofpixiedusttravel.com. Just follow the second star to the right straight on to your adventure. That's pinchofpixiedusttravel.com, where you're making memories one trip at a time. Welcome to this Diz Life podcast. I am your host, Mark Ballantyne, Disney enthusiast, annual pass holder, and DVC member. As always, we are so honored that you're joining us here at this Diz Life. Today, we welcome back to the show the one and only Piano Rob. Rob, welcome back to the show.
What is up?
So, Rob joined us back in our very first season. And it was like one of my favorite episodes of 2020. And I said, hey, man, anytime you want to come, no agenda. Like, let's just chill, talk Disney. Like, Rob and I talk constantly and through text. And we're just we're nerds. Do you mind me kind of outing us like that?
It's so funny that you said that, by the way, though, because I'll just give you this little snippet. But like when we were watching Marvel Monday last night, you guys would just giggle about all this nerdy stuff. And I turned to Allie, I go, these damn nerds. I love these guys. Like, and I'm giggling too. Like, she's catching me chuckle at you guys being idiots.
We are. Like, that's the best part about Marvel Monday. I said this to Ethan. I'm like, dude, we're just nerds. Like, Marvel Monday, we are just nerds, and we're like living in all of our glory. And we had Mark from United We Fan on last night.
And he'd be great.
Yeah, he was amazing. Listen, I love those guys. I love Brian. I love Mark. Just because I told you this when you introduced us, I said, they're my kind of nerds. Those two guys are my kind of nerds. We fan out. So having Mark last night was beautiful. But I said to him on the show, you know, they say the meek shall inherit the earth. And then Brian, being the very quick and witty guy, said the Mark shall inherit the earth. I was like, yes, I love it.
I thought you were going to say the geek shall inherit the earth.
Well, that
I thought you were going. But it's fun. I mean, geeks run the world, man.
Yeah.
Geeks make their computers and their Disney movies. And, you know, everybody's got to remember that. I'm glad for the technology because I'm hoping the younger generation will not feel bullied by that, those old school, you know, jock things and stuff in middle school and high school. It's like, I think they see with it, even through like TikTok and stuff for these younger kids. Yeah. If you're a nerd and you learn this stuff, you can make something with it.
The funniest thing was, is like when I was in high school, there's just always kids that are just going to be mean. You know, even in life, there's just people that are going to be mean to you. They're just not going to accept you. And I was like the last time you were here, I told you I was like a chorus geek. I was a real like theater nerd. But like I had so many of my friends that were on the soccer team and the football team. But then there were some of their teammates that were also on the team that just treated me like jerks. I don't think it was a stereotype as much as it's just there's nice people out there and there's mean people out there. But I always gravitated towards kindness. You know, it didn't matter to me who they were or what they liked. As long as they were just good people, I was like, hey, you're my kind of guy. I'm like that a lot still. Yeah. When I find good people, I continue to go back for more. I just gravitate towards them.
Yeah. Why the negativity? I agree 100%. I mean, yeah. I was thinking today, like I've really met, and I use the word met because it's different now with technology, but I've met so many people, probably more good people in the last year than probably any single year of my life was this last year during this weird thing.
We say that constantly. Dwayne and I talk about that constantly. 2020, for all of the bad stuff, because of the podcast and Zoom meetings, Zoom allowed us to reach out and really connect with people that were thousands of miles away in like intimate conversations, whether they were podcasts or live streams or whatnot. it really changed the way that we communicate. But like I told them, I said 2020 was crap, but meeting all of you was easily the best thing that came out of the year.
Yeah, 100%.
Hey, just really quick, for all of our listeners, I just want to remind you, if it's the first time that you're here with us, check us out over at www.thisdizlifepodcast.com. And if you could leave us a rating and a review over on Apple, it helps us grow. And it's like the weirdest thing. I want to say hello to our international listeners, especially to my Australian listeners. Rob, it's like the weirdest thing. So I got like our ratings and like where you rank on Apple and whatnot. So okay. This Dislike podcast is 51st in the category of travel in Australia.
That's awesome.
So I was like, one, like who in Australia is listening to us? Which was like the most amazing, like that was cool in and of itself. I was like, yo, there's people that are in Australia listening to us. And there's enough people that we're 51st in travel.
That's crazy. And leisure. That's so awesome.
So my Australian listeners, I love you. Good day. That's like the coolest thing. So, you know, don't forget, head over to that, like us, subscribe, and help us grow so that we can get into more countries and grow. I'm eyeing you, Luxembourg. I'm looking at you right now.
Luxembourg. Yes.
So, dude, the other day, you know, I kind of said, like, let's sit down. Let's just geek out. There's no agenda today.
No agenda.
I have some games for you.
Let's do it. I love it. I'm excited.
Yeah, there's really no agenda. So, you know, since we kind of sat down the last time, just tell the listeners, fill them in, what's going on in the life of Piano Rob.
Wow. How many months has it been since we sat down? I feel like so much is happening.
Probably 2.5. It went quick.
Yeah, man. I mean, the live streams are still going. For my live stream playing piano, my quarantunes that are, it's not nightly anymore, but it's at least, I would say, 3 shows a week. Mm-hmm. That's up over 250. We're doing a year anniversary show. A couple of my fans actually rented a room, in a local Hilton over here, and people are flying in for the show, for the year anniversary show.
That's really,
I'm blown away. I almost like it would have been too egotistical on my part in my head to like book an auditorium and do it. But yeah. Looking at the response, I'm like, maybe I should have done that. But that sounded too much. I'm like, there's no way I would fill a room, but these people are coming. So that's a big thing. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm pretty much still at the Boathouse every Friday, Saturday.
Playing Tin Roof.
Playing Tin Roof on Sundays. We may be starting a brunch at Boathouse, and I'm hoping by the time this airs, that'll be a thing. But we may be starting a brunch starting the end of February.
You know, I say this, you know how much I love quarantines, but it is also really nice that you're not there every single night because you have started to take on a lot of live gigs. Like I love that. Like that to me is great, but it's also pretty cool that you haven't forgotten about us virtually, especially those of us there in Pennsylvania and Ohio and Maryland.
I love the virtual show, man. I love it, Diz. And I'm sure you feel the same things. I'm sure in a way it's the same with the podcast a little, especially when you guys do like Marvel Monday or something where you're all together.
Yeah.
It's this weird hangout then. And it's like, and it's a different level, but then the live show is good too. Cause a lot of those same people now come to the live show and they get to see me live and we can take a picture or whatever, all that stuff. It's nice. It's yeah. Great.
Well, I think I'm going to join the ranks of that soon.
I can't wait, man. Two weeks, 3 weeks.
So yeah. So the 13th, we're going to come in. And then I think it's that following the 20th that there was a bunch of us from This Diz Life. You know, Melissa, Dwayne, Lori, myself, Linda's going to come. If she's still there, we have to see what's going to go on, but it might just be me.
So here's the only thing I'm sad about. I'm hoping that they change it. But as of right now, starting very literally on the 13th is the first cast member blockout day. And there's right now they have not lifted anything. So I can't even go to a park during that time that you're going to be here right now.
Really?
I hope it changes. If they don't get enough bookings, I think sometimes they leave it open, okay, hoping that people are going to come for a winter break or a spring break because that's that President's Week, all that stuff starts.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that, I mean, I want them to get bookings for all the obvious reasons, but I want to go. It'll be great to see you at Disney Springs and other places, but I want to go to the parks with all you.
I know. I want to go to parks. Yeah. I kind of said to Mark last night after we taped Marvel Monday, I said, on the day that I go to Animal Kingdom, you know, I'll have to reach out to you and figure out so that the two of us can connect. And Brian said he's going to try to join us one day whether it's in studios or somewhere that I, cool. you know, because again, being from Pennsylvania, I don't, it's not like I'm there every single week to hang out. So it'll, yeah. it'll be a cool event to just kind of say, hey, and you know, to socially distance hang out.
I got a park day planned tomorrow. So okay, very excited. Going? Animal Kingdom and Epcot. Going to be my first park hopping in over a year, probably.
Cause that's back.
Cause it's back.
I'm so glad that that has returned. That is a big part of the Disney experience for us.
Yeah.
We like doing dining and food on different parks. So
my parents really want two specific Thomas Kinkade photos, okay. not photos, paintings, like expensive ones. And, they were going back and forth. And within the 5 minutes they were going back and forth, we were talking about it in like that little festival pavilion. Somebody bought them.
Did they really?
And so now they're like, they get them in now and then, which is also interesting to me because they're not prints, they're paintings. So they must yeah. be like always a little different. You know, it's not going to always be the same. But so every time I go back to Epcot now, I'm looking for these paintings to try to find it for them. So that's part of the agenda tomorrow. I hope I can get them.
So I shared that moment with Alicia 2 weeks ago. And that was like the hard lesson that I learned. There was a Magic Band, an Empire Strikes Back limited edition Magic Band that
okay.
I wanted. It was in the Emporium and I walked away. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to carry this around all day. I came back an hour and a half later and some personal shopper had cleared out all like 30 of them.
That's crazy.
So that was – we said that on that episode with Alicia. When you want something, just go for it right then.
Yeah.
Because you never know when someone's going to pluck it.
And I think they're learning if they make more limited things than the
– I think I lost you for a second.
Hold on. We'll be back. I think there I got go. A phone call. Am I back?
Yep. There it is.
All these devices. I hate them.
Technology.
Right? And now my iPad's going to ring until it's done because I left it too far away from me. But it's, I feel like they're making more limited items knowing that they're going to sell big. And it's funny because I never would have thought that a painting that was that expensive was going to go like that gone.
Yeah. I have some of the, like the recreations of those canvas paintings. Like we got like six of them and then I got one of the prints. Thomas Kinkade stuff. Yeah. They're gorgeous. I did a giveaway on Instagram where I gave one away like right after I started my Instagram. I gave away a Rapunzel one, a Tangled one.
Oh, that's nice.
And people were digging it. Well, I just love giveaways. You and I have talked about giveaways.
You know what's funny? Allie always tells me I should do giveaways and I haven't done a single one. I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. What am I gonna give away? I gotta find something. I guess a Piano Rob shirt, but I don't know.
We'll see. Yeah, I just like to me it's like even if it's something silly, like I'll give away if I go and find like a Funko and I see two of them. And I really love it. Sometimes I'll just buy an extra one just to give it away.
Yeah.
I saw some stuff from like the Galaxy's Edge shop that was like in Target. So I got that. I was just like, oh, look, it's like a $15 sign. I'll like, what a perfect thing to give away. I don't know. Like do stuff like that. My wife's like, is that for you or is that for the internet? And I'm like, yeah.
It's funny because I think doing what we do now, there's a weird blurry line where your personal life and your business and whatever, like this weird overlap because it sounds egotistical, but your personality then you're that guy I see, like we talk about Bonnie Cribbs walking around Walt Disney World and yeah. it's like a joke now with, it's like, who's going to find Bonnie and take a picture with them? It's like, yeah. like you take on that role. And if you're going to go in public, there's always a chance somebody's going to want to talk to you or do something.
To be clear, I'm nowhere near that level of anything. Like I'm going to go to the parks in a week. I'm going to thoroughly enjoy myself. Ain't nobody going to be saying, oh, that's Mark. This life. I kind of like that.
If I'm going to the parks, it's nice, especially with face masks now too, because nobody really recognizes people. So yeah. it's nice to walk around. But it is funny because I have my joke always is, I might have said it on the last one, but it's like my joke is I mean a real lot to a very small group of people. But so nobody bothers me. But if you're walking on like one of those people, like some they'll have like that extra little breakdown, and I kind of giggle about it because it's me. It's just, but it's funny.
So, I went and saw Mean Girls on Broadway. And
how was that?
It was awesome. And, Danny Pudi from Community was there.
Okay.
Right. And, he plays Abed. You know, I don't know if you've watched Community,
I've only watched a couple of episodes.
So Donald Glover and him are like, they're like the best friends. So he's the Indian student. Okay. Who's like, he's just amazing. So funny. I'm sitting there getting a Coke in intermission. I look to my left. He looks at me and his eyes went a little wide. Like he's like, oh shoot, I've been made. And I'm like, yes, you have been made. And I was cool. And I was cool about it. So I just look at him. I go, Troy and Abed in the morning, which is one of their shticks. He laughs hysterical. And then he like, there's no COVID yet. He like gives me a pound and he's like, dude, he's like that. He goes, that was the best hello I've gotten in a long time. And
that's funny.
I bought him a soda. We chilled out and I said, listen, can I be that guy real quick? I was like, would you mind taking a selfie with me? Listen, I'm a giant fan. I love you on Community. I was like, dude, I binged this show like four times already. My wife yells at me because she's like, how many times are you going to watch Community through? And I'm like, 10. I don't know. I'm like, how many times are you going to watch? And I can't remember whatever it was, but I said, how many times are you going to watch? Da, da, da. And she was like, okay, fair enough. So we get the picture with him and then he walks away. And then a guy goes, who was that? Like he had no clue. But
people,
I was like,
people don't know. Yeah, that's so funny.
He's like, who is that? And I was like, yeah, I felt good. Like I had this little secret that I knew who Danny Pudi was.
It's and the one thing I think we've touched on this. The one thing I've learned too is that when we see somebody that's a celebrity of any sort, we just think like you're a celebrity or you're not a celebrity. But it's really not like that. There's so many levels of celebrities that like and that they don't even have certain access to other ones. So it's funny when you meet them. I think I told you this story, but I'm sure the listeners, especially a Disney listener, but the end of December, I got invited over into Golden Oak, the million-dollar Disney community. It's yep. Gorgeous in there. Amazingly, my piano playing has allowed me to go to some other places, but I won't mention everybody, but I have some friends in there now. So they asked me to play. And it was great because my girlfriend was off that night. Allie was off, so we brought her. And I'm playing piano, we'll get together. And all of a sudden, David and Ashley Eckstein walk in. Allow the Googling, go ahead, some of you are. But in this group, most people are going to care about Ashley over David, even though he's an MVP baseball player. But she's the voice of Ahsoka Tano.
You know me, yep.
And I'm just doodling on my piano. And that's my girlfriend's favorite Jedi. Like I got her two things for Christmas and one of them was an Ahsoka shirt. Like that was it. Her mouth is hitting the floor. Like, and I'm sitting there like, be cool. Come on. Please be cool. And she was a little shell shocked there. And it's funny because she could, a couple of days later, John Stamos was at one of the shows. She could have cared less that John Stamos was there because she doesn't have that personal relationship to him. But to Ahsoka, oh my God, the fact that there's Ahsoka Tano right there, like she was losing her mind. It was so worth it. I was so glad she was there for it.
Well, you know me, I would have been that guy. I would have freaked out a little bit.
Yeah,
I would have geeked out. Well, and I told you the story when I met Quentin Tarantino when I was a kid.
Yes, yes.
Like I freaked out, and he was the coolest guy. He was the coolest guy. We were 18 years old. We saw him in New York City. We went to go see Wait Until Dark. We brought all of our Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs swag. We thought, you know, this guy is, and this is the top of his game too.
Yeah.
And, you know, he hung out with us. He treated us like human beings. He invited us out. We were too young. He didn't, you know, he was like, you guys want to go get a drink? And we're like, you know, Mr. Tarantino, we're 18 and 19 years old. We couldn't do it, but like the coolest guy. So I always love moments like that, but I just try to be really cool when I have those kind of moments, but also show them respect, realize that they're also people. And instead of assuming that they're going to take a selfie or assume that they're going to want to have you engage, just kind of be respectful of their space. And like, you know, this guy is going to, you know, he's just going to see a Broadway show just like me. He doesn't want to be harassed or harangued.
Yeah.
And, like I've always found that they're just a lot more agreeable when, you know, you're kind of respectful and say, you know, hey, listen, I'm a big fan. My dog's going to go crazy because my wife just got in. We have like, I joked, speaking of Star Wars, we have like 2.5 feet of snow outside right now. It's like Hoth outside. It's like ridiculous. So
it's crazy. I mean, this is our winter. I'm just sad because it's like 48 degrees.
Yeah.
And that's like cold for here.
Yeah. So again, my apologies to the people that are watching this back on YouTube. my dog is my dog is here. We have lives. Like, yeah. It's not a professional studio.
I'll tell you what though, people enjoy that more because I think they like a glimpse. They know we're not putting on an act when we talk. We talk like this if we're on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, this is who we are. And I think that's why your show does good. I think that's why Quarantunes does good, because people, they want to see that. It gives them context. It's a backstory. It's watching a prequel. It's extra. It gives you the whole picture. People appreciate that.
It's funny you say, it's what I've always gravitated towards with this medium, is that it's a very real setting. It's people as themselves having very genuine conversations, you know, just like really, really connecting with people, that there's no pretense. There's no airs about it. It's just people really just like sharing themselves. Hey Bella, how are you? My daughter just got, do you want to come and say hi? We're taping this. Do you want to say hi to Rob? So this is the first time that Bella's been on an episode of, so this was, to everyone that was listening since the beginning, this was our news roundup girl that she taped the voiceover for. Hey, all you cowboys and cowgirls, this is today's news roundup. So this is Bella. Was it cold out today?
My face is freezing.
She's still cold. She's get that girl a hot chocolate.
Her tauntaun froze before she reached the first marker. So she, you know, she had to pull a Han Solo and, you know, and kind of use it as a sleeping bag for a while just to get back to us. Yeah. Do you want to say anything to people? Because we're taping this, but it's going to be live on YouTube. It's the first time she's been at a loss for words.
I like when we put them on the spot. Like,
I don't know what to say.
My kids are the same way. They want to be on the camera, and they're like,
there's no spaces.
Wait, smash that like button and subscribe, right? That's what she says. All right, kiss. I love you.
Mwah. Sorry that the comments are turned off. Stay crafty.
I like that.
So this is, again, so this is as real as it gets. We've never even had these kind of things go on during an episode. Everyone is home for the snow day today.
It's great, dude. It's great, man. I mean, I feel good. My kids have been able to go to face-to-face school since August. It's been safe. They've had zero problems. And I'm happy about that. And it gives me, like, I have this little bit of free time to do this. Although they'd probably just be, they'd get their work done and they'd play Fortnite or something. That's what they do.
She goes to school 2 days in person.
Okay.
And Wednesday, everyone is virtual because they do a deep cleaning. Then for the second half of the school, then she'll be home. The teacher will have half the class there. And then she'll be teaching to the other class virtually. I have to say too, I've said this before. I said it on, we had all the teachers on for Hamilton Bicentennial because I had the cast of Moana was on last week. And I said, like, hats off to the teachers right now that are out there doing what they're doing amidst the pandemic going on, like, props to them. Amazing. Amazing. The way that they've had to use like technology like this to connect with the kids. And it's not why they got into the profession.
No, it's not. I mean, I'm assuming probably depending on the teacher, like us, they probably either love it or hate it. Some of them probably love just rolling out of bed in their home and they can do it virtually. Yeah. Some of them probably miss that get up and go. They want that interaction. It's amazing. You really get to see people's different personalities and how it's like a big science experiment, really, which is sad, but it's amazing to watch it.
Yeah. No, I wish that they didn't have to go through it too, because she has the absolute best teacher in the world this year. And if there's a teacher that could pull off the virtual, it's her.
Okay.
But I really wish that she had the experience of having this teacher like every single day. Cause this, like the teacher she has right now is one of the she's had, I have to say this too. Every single year she's in third grade. She had an amazing first and second grade teacher that were like the same thing, like really loving and like life. Like the kind of teachers that when you look back on that year, like I have like maybe three or four that I look back and I'm like, man, that was a good year in school.
Yeah.
She's had like three of them, but this one over the moon, like so good.
Teachers. And you know what? They make a difference, man. I've even seen it with my kids. Of course, I never mentioned it, but there's obviously ones that are better than others. Mm-hmm. And I never want to make it sound like I'm a parent, like taking the kids' side. Like I know where they will succeed. Like I'm a very involved parent. I know what they're, so when there's something that doesn't click right, there's those times where I'm like, I know I wish that teacher would do better or this one, but this year, luckily they're still, you know, they're always top of their class. They're doing good. I'm not going to complain.
And again, the teachers are the magic makers.
Yeah,
they really are. You know, they're the magic makers in real life. You know, we're with the pandemic too. I think we've reassessed, you know, who's important, you know, and what's important in this world.
Yeah. I'm curious what's going to come out of all that. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. I have a healthy dose of skepticism as well, but I hope that at the tail end of this, that we do come out changed better for the better.
Always. Yeah. I always hope that too. We'll see.
We'll see. So tell me about real quick, because I know that you've been to the Festival of the Arts.
Yes.
One of my favorite festivals.
Me too.
I'm so happy that I am going to get to partake in it. Because it is, I mean, like every Festival of the Holidays gets a lot of credit, food and wine for obvious reasons. So I always say the Festival of the Arts is like the low key, like it's the low key festival, but it's my favorite one.
I never know what my favorite is, because the entertainment factor is what sways me. So like Food and Wine Festival, and I missed all this last year. Everybody knows there's no concerts, the outside events. They have the Voices of Liberty singing now, which is wonderful. And they have the mariachi band from Mexico and the Jammeters. But other than that, and they have Carol Stein, of course, playing, mm-hmm. and they have a painter now for Festival of the Arts. So that stuff is great. Yeah. I miss the Broadway performances for Festival of the Arts. That it was so amazing that they would take whatever stars from whatever Disney Broadway musical, and they'd have them, and they just would sing all these Disney songs, all these Disney hits. I miss that. That I miss the most. Now, other than that, festival's fantastic. They got the food stand set up. They have the artists there every day. Yeah. You have artists every time I've gone. Like David Doss has been there. I got one of his paintings downstairs. So all of that, amazing. I could say nothing but the best about all of that.
Yeah, I'm a huge Broadway guy. Mark and I from United We Fan connected over that he didn't know that about me, and I said, "Oh yeah, brother! Like Broadway next to Disney, and you know, like the entertainment stuff." I go, "Broadway is where it's at." I mean, we do a lot of shows. I'm not going to say how many we do. We do a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, of course. I mean, I miss it down here because we have that beautiful Performing Arts Center down here. Mm-hmm. That was getting all the tours finally, and then this happened. So then none of the touring, you know, I mean, they're not going anywhere right now. There's none of that. The food, I will tell you, there are some things at this festival food wise that rival Food and Wine Festival, anything else. There's some delicious.
I was going to ask you, like, what would be your hot tip? Like, what's your must have food item and drink?
Okay. There's a Pop Eats stand. It's called Pop Eats.
Okay.
They have this grilled cheese with French onion and bacon on it with a tomato soup. By far, that I think that's probably my favorite that I've had at the festival.
That has popped up at least 40 times on Instagram too, because the way it looks, the serving, it's very Instagrammable, let me just say. People have been snapping photos of it.
They may not give it to you the way the original pictures were, because the first weekend it opened to get the pictures, they had like, it came in the soup can and stuff. Every time I've gone, there's no cans. You get the soup in a cup.
They ran out.
So I don't know if they ran out, or I don't know if it was like intentional in the sense of we'll present it like this. And then, you know, I don't know where they're cutting money. I mean, let's face it. Everybody's doing what they have to. So that's one of them. There is a pork and water chestnut meatball at the Shanghai stand right by China.
Mm.
Also freaking amazing. It's delicious. Mm.
Okay. So what's your favorite drink right now?
So there's a slushy in France. That's delicious at the stand. Kind of like the Grey Goose ones. I forgot what kind of fruit it was.
There's always a slushy in France.
You're right.
Those are the best. They're really so good.
People are going to be shocked. I feel bad saying this. I have not tried enough of the drinks yet. I'm not always a big drinker. If the first stand by the Starbucks, when you're walking into the showcase on that side, that one that's always right there, there is this. It's like a milkshake. It's the deconstructed stand. That's what they call it every year. Yep. If you're familiar with it, so they'll have like a Reuben, but it won't be in the sandwich. It's deconstructed. So they have what they call a deconstructed breakfast. So it's like it's vanilla ice cream in a milkshake with some bourbon, and there's like a waffle cone in there, like pieces of waffle cone and bacon. I like that.
Listen, yes, yes. I I don't, it's always so hard for me to decide like what I want to get. Cause you, I mean, you're so lucky in that I always say how jealous I am of locals that you don't have to go and pig out because you're only there for like a day or two on a 7-day stay.
Yeah.
I always feel like this glutton because like I got 2 days and I got to try all this stuff and I pig out that I can't move by the end of the day.
I still eat more than I should. Even when I go, the first time is always the worst time because you just overdo it. Like you go to like 4 stands in a row and you were only in the park like 8 minutes somehow. And then I'm like, oh man, there's like 20 more things I want to get. So then it's like, I slow down, but I still keep eating, but it's definitely a plus living here. And I always say this, although I mean, I guess it's good for all of us that everybody doesn't live here, but I was like, if you're living in a place and you're not happy in that place all the time, then get out of that place and go move somewhere. move to the place that you're going to be happy most of the time and don't live in the place that maybe you're not happy. And then you visit the place you're happy for 7 days out of the year. That's so sad.
Yeah. It's like, what was the movie with Ben Stiller when he goes on vacation and then he winds up moving there?
Heartbreak Kid.
Is it? No, I don't think it was Heartbreak Kid. It was something about Polly.
Along Came Polly?
Along Came Polly.
Is that the one?
Remember
that
Along Came Polly? And they go on vacation and then like he winds up like living down there eventually. Is that the right movie?
I don't know if we're mixing it up. Along Came Polly. I remember it's the one with Jennifer Aniston. I always love when we do this because people are probably screaming going, no, it's this movie, you idiot.
Well, Mark and Brian are screaming at us right now. I'll tell you that. I know that for sure. They're definitely yelling at us right now because they're trying to yell at their radio to tell us what Ben Stiller movie it is.
Which guys, movie is it where Hank Azaria tries to get them to do scuba diving? Is that Along Came Polly?
I don't know. I can't remember.
I think it is now.
Well, they're never going to invite either one of us to fan out with them on the Ben Stiller episode. This is it. We just failed our audition.
You know what's funny? I grew up, I loved Ben Stiller growing up.
Me too.
And as most actors do, they have a time that they're famous. And not that he's not famous. He just doesn't seem to be making that much. He's not popping into things. So those movies are becoming more and more distant. And let's be honest. We're so inundated with content right now that it's not like I think, let me go back and watch Along Came Polly. I'm sitting there like, I got to watch WandaVision 19 more times to know what's going on before Friday. That's where my head's at.
We got to get into that.
I know we're going to.
Before I ask you about that, because you said Ben Stiller, I'm going to put you on the spot. What's your favorite Ben Stiller movie? I have mine. I know it already.
I'm pretty positive I can go around in circles, but I think it's always going to be Meet the Parents.
Okay. Dodgeball.
Dodgeball's a great one.
Dodgeball.
No complaint.
I love, you're not wrong. It's, I don't hate it, but Dodgeball is, I love that whole cast, but he, in that movie, it's so quotable. And if I had to, and again, probably Mark and Brian are yelling at us, they're like, dude, Zoolander.
Zoolander. Well, I'm going to tell you something funny though. It's funny you mentioned Dodgeball because Allie said something to me yesterday and I don't remember what it was, but it caused me to turn to her and go, you caught me. I like to break a mental sweat off.
I love it. Chuck Norris from that. And then I love him at the end when he's sitting there and he's like, he's lost all control. Like his diet, everything's gone. He's got the chicken in his mouth and he's like, F you, Chuck Norris.
And you know what? It goes to show who we are because life is what you make it. We like to watch these things and just laugh. I feel like some people are like, that's so stupid. It's like, but I don't want to watch something like This Is Us and cry for 25 hours. Like, I don't.
I know. I agree. I have friends who are, they fan over that hard. And I'm like, listen, I'll cry enough with the world right now. I can't put that on.
Yeah. I'll probably cry from WandaVision at some point. I don't need to watch stuff that's made to make me cry.
And yet people are again yelling at me going, dude, you watch Bridgerton for goodness sake.
I'm going to be honest. I know it's like old timey and that's all I know about it. And it's probably going to be forever till I get to it. And maybe I'll like it. Maybe I won't, but it's just,
it's Grey's Anatomy and Gossip Girl meets Jane Austen.
Okay.
And it's Shonda Rhimes. So who does Grey's Anatomy?
Yes, yes.
It's Shondaland.
See, I will tell you this. I got away from Grey's Anatomy.
I did too.
I watched it for years. And then there was like somewhere probably halfway through, there was like that they had the shooter at the hospital.
Okay.
And then I watched a little more than that. And then I'm like, this is, I know it's meant to be a drama. That's the point of the show. But it's like, how much trouble are we going to have at one hospital? Like, let's shut down this hospital at one point. It's like, it gets so unrealistic for me.
I made it to the plane crash. The plane crash was a bridge too far for me, because that was the sentiment that you just said. I then had and said, man, these are the most unlucky people that I have ever seen in my entire life. Like, they go through the active shoot. Like, it's just, you name it, and it's happened to like this hospital. At some point, like, Christina Yang was the smart one. She got out. Like, she moved. She was like, you guys have to leave Seattle. Like, we're all going to die. We're all going to die.
Yeah. Yes.
And when they took out, I wasn't a McDreamy fan, although I liked Derek Shepherd. McSteamy, I related to him a lot more.
Do you, Mark?
I do. It was McSteamy for me. I felt he was like the everyday man. He had the humor. I was team McSteamy.
See, now I'll tell you that when I was watching it, and like probably I was in my early 20s, like when I was watching it. Mm-hmm. So I had my first roommate right after Disney. She's still one of my best friends, Shanika Lewis. If you're watching, she used to work for Disney forever. We're a backlot tour. Me and her had like the Shepherd Bailey relationship. Like, that was our fun. We kept each other. She kept me in line, and we kind of had that. So I didn't mind McDreamy for that one. But yeah. Now I'd rather have a McDonald's, which is the problem. And that's it.
Dude, we are, so by the way, both of us are giving James Williams from Mouse Ears and Magic so much ammunition right now.
I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about his wife. She's gonna take me out.
They are, I'm telling you, they are preloading their Roadcaster with Rob and Mark clips right now.
They're gonna do an episode that they don't even tell us that we're like, it's gonna be about us, but we're not even gonna be on it. And they're just gonna put out, like, it's gonna be like the dirt on Mark and Rob. And that's, here it is. And
the McSteamy clip made it, the McDonald's clip just made it. It's happening. And for those of you too that people are like, this is a Disney podcast. They're talking about Grey's Anatomy. Yeah, it's ABC, it's owned by Disney.
It's all relative, man.
It's all relative. So
I think that's what's amazing. When you realize what they own, then you realize how they work it and put it all together. That's the magic of it.
Yeah. Get off my back. It's ABC. It's everything's owned by the mouse, the House of Mouse. I can talk about whatever I want.
Yeah.
It's my show. So, okay. So let's talk about something that I know that you're fired up and you're passionate about.
Okay.
WandaVision.
Yeah.
We've texted. I know that you're going crazy over it. I know that you're fanning out over it. Did you like the first three episodes? We talked about this week. A lot of people did not dig the sitcom. They didn't like the decades. It took till episode 4 for they were like, thank you God, it's finally back to the MCU. That other stuff is terrible. Did you like the style of it?
I love it. And the reason I love it, see, I can understand, I don't know how the casual fan is going to relate to the next 10 years of Marvel. And that's what I'm curious about.
I worry about that as well. I have to be honest, I worry about that, because the stuff that all of us are talking about, Mephisto and the kids and Wiccan and Speed, even like the Dark Dimension.
If there was a casual listener to your show that didn't watch Marvel Monday or WandaVision, everything you just said makes zero sense to them.
No sense at all. None. So I do worry about that, but I do have faith in Marvel.
I do too.
That they will be able to bridge that gap. Because how many people think about this? Did you ever in a million years think that the Guardians of the Galaxy being it's an obscure book, relatively speaking, you know, like Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Captain America.
Mark, I didn't know who they were when the movie came out.
And yet
I didn't go to theaters to see it.
And I would venture a guess they're probably some of your favorites now.
Some
at this
of my
point.
Favorite people. I know I love the actors. I know the characters. I've done so much information on the backstory and the way they fit into this is what I love about the whole universe. And And honestly, this is a great thing for people because I think this is what I'm about to say is going to make you decide whether you want to be in it or not in it or whatever it is. It's such a, I like things that are so well thought out and come together to make this masterpiece. So I'm a music guy. Songs like Bohemian Rhapsody, like Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, or hell, 10 course meals like at Victoria and Albert's. Any one of these things by themselves, it's good. But the fact that it's part of this whole and it comes together to make this experience, that's why WandaVision to me is going to be so good. I know that this is setting up so many amazing things. I have my theories. I don't know exactly what it's going to be. But if you watch WandaVision, these episodes that we're watching right now, if you watch them 3 years from now, 4 years from now, it's going to be amazing because you're going to look back and go, oh, that's the connections that was they were making. That's why it's good. Now, if you don't care enough or want to put that time in, you might not enjoy it because you're missing so much. You don't want to pick out the Easter eggs and say, I saw that, I did this. So if you care to be that in depth, you're going to love it. If you don't care, you might not because you're going to, there's not, it's not, you're going to miss things.
I have a lot of empathy for people who are like, listen, just get me to the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Because this is just not really my speed. It is so unique. It's so different. I have used the phrase it's Lost meets the MCU multiple times. That the way that you had to watch Lost, it wasn't just, oh, well, that happened. There was symbolism. There was a lot of connections to it.
Yes.
Lost was constantly forcing you to rewind, rewatch, freeze frame. That is like, did you catch that? Did you see that number? Like, it's significant. That's what WandaVision is like.
Yes.
I mean, that's what we do. And by and large, that's what we do on Monday is we take people's questions. When we know the answer, you know, we kind of will say, this is what we think it is. And, you know, if not, we speculate. And then this week, of course, too, we also had the added, you know, the added caveat because there's a lot of stuff happening. So this week we kind of added something to our arsenal where we would just say, you know, someone would ask a question and we would just come back and be like,
I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know.
I don't know. The sound didn't go on my side, but I hope it did on yours.
It was
muted on my side, but I love it. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I think there's two types of TV watchers. You're either active or you're passive. I like anything that I can be involved in. Like we love game shows. We watch Wheel of Fortune. We watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. We Jeopardy. I want to have an active role. So I like doing it. Whereas I feel like the other end of the spectrum is the Grey's Anatomy, the drama. People just want to sit back and they just want, let me just see how these people's lives are. I like mysteries. I want to search for clues. I want my brain to be active. That's just how I am.
Dude, you and Allie have to join us for a game night one time because it's interactive.
It's always on the weekend.
I know it is. So we do Friday. Well, I mean, yeah, that too. Because Friday night you're usually gigging as well.
It's the only time people want piano players right now. Pretty much is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I'm gonna gigging every weekend.
So for you, I'm gonna try to hold a special one for you on like a Wednesday, so that I can get you guys. So that I can get you guys there to play because it's so hilarious. Like we have such a good time. So who's your favorite character in WandaVision right now?
Ooh, right now. Let me stop and think. I think I'm going to jump on the Darcy train probably. But I've always liked her.
Darcy for me, close second is Wu.
Wu, of course, yes.
He's so great. This is not me, by the way. I don't take credit for this, but Mark from United We Fan wants to see like an X-Files style of show following Agent Wu, where he's got to like solve crimes in the MCU. I'm on board for that. That would be phenomenal.
And they're going to keep using them. I want to see a show, and I forgot his name. The Spanish guy from Ant-Man.
Yes,
him and the rock guy from Thor Ragnarok. I want to see them be character. I want to see them together on the screen doing
that bit that he does when he does the retelling of stories.
Yes.
Is some of it's comedic gold, but the one where he was drugged and telling the story was I'll still watch that back and I'll cry like I did in the theater like the first time I saw it. that geek and the Baba Yaga. That when he's like Baba Yaga.
They should have him do every Marvel recap, and everybody would always like that's the type of things that I would love to see. People, funny people are funny people. There's just some people you want to see on the screen. And I know the writing is great for these shows, which I could not give more props to the writers, because so many shows you watch a character that you don't like. I'm going to give you one since we talked about it. I never liked Katherine Heigl on Grey's. I thought the writing for her character was so poor. She was always so whiny, and there was always, really? I couldn't. Oh yeah, ma'am. See, maybe you liked her. We're getting yelled at.
I loved Katherine Heigl. I know that she was a pretty allegedly a really horrible person to work with on set.
Yeah.
Which is why
that's what I heard. I know they had the things come out.
They had the things come out, and it's why she's really has not done a lot of work since that. I think she burned a lot of bridges in that town. But I happened to really liked her. I liked her and I liked Alex.
Okay.
When I think of Grey's Anatomy, I very much liked the original crew and the original cast. When they started to add all of these people in the later seasons, like I'll turn it on now. I don't know. I know like two people on the show and that's it.
And that's what I'm afraid Marvel might do to the casual fan. There's people that they know Iron Man, they know Captain America. They're not going to know Wickham. They're not going to know Wiccan. They're not going to know a lot of these guys we're talking about, Grim Reaper, Mephisto. They're not going to know them. So now Marvel does a really good job, though, Guardians of the Galaxy be an example of making you care about characters you didn't even know about. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping if they continue
case in point, Monica Rambeau this week.
Yes.
We haven't seen Monica Rambeau. She had a bit part in Captain Marvel. She was like 7 or 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then we pick up with her in the snapback or the blip. We can't say snapback because Mark says it reminds him of trucker hats. In the blip, that's her backstory. We get to see her lament briefly her mom. And it's almost like we've known her now for several movies. And that's, again, the magic of Marvel's writing. She's only on screen for about 45 seconds to a minute. And then, boom, we're in. Like her origin story's there. And we're in.
We know everything we need to know. And without saying it, if you're a comic book fan, you know she's going to be around for at least 5 years, if not 10 years, through this whole next phase, because she has roles of her own that she has to complete. And that's another reason why I love it. I think you're going to see a lot of characters that do not have powers yet get their powers either from the show WandaVision or that whatever the next thing WandaVision leads to. That's what people watching right now. If you're waiting, if you're expecting it to be
another phone call.
I'm recording a podcast. I told her not to.
Stop calling me.
But it's funny, but that's why it's so great to me. Like that's why I'm watching it. And I'm just, and for me, it excites me to get it first. Like I want to figure out part of the mysteries first. I want to be like, that's why I love it.
Well, that I don't want to spoil too much because it's just because people who listen to this don't come expect to come on having Marvel spoilers. Yeah, really,
no spoilers.
Brian kind of talked about that concept of people going to get powers via WandaVision. And that's why I pointed to you, because like that's what I think. Not only is I think this is the setting up other stuff, but I think that that's going to introduce us to a whole host of other characters that have abilities as a result of that. So listen, good writing is good writing.
And there's a reason that they picked WandaVision to go now, and Black Widow didn't have to be released yet, and WandaVision was able to go before Falcon and Winter Soldier. They were able to do that because they know WandaVision has to be released, because there's going to be, and I don't even know totally which ones they are. I know at least one or two of them, but there's movies that can't be released until WandaVision was released. It has to be done or it's not going to make sense. And you need stuff to happen to get to something else.
Yeah. And we've talked about that. That's why we all believe that Black Widow it's going to come out. We think that this weekend they're going to announce that it's going to come out in theaters and on Disney Plus exclusive content, because you can't delay it anymore, or it's going to throw the timeline off.
Or it might not. We'll find we'll find out based on when they release it. If they do have it wait, then it, then you might not, because I think anybody who knows this, I don't think this is a spoiler. Black Widow is obviously a prequel.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're going to have some ties and some things that there's going to be things that happened in her past that I'm sure will affect the MCU's future. But yeah, what those things are and when they will come into play, we'll find out in time.
And it wouldn't be Marvel. This film was essentially the second in Phase 4. Spider-Man was like a bridge for the two. Mm-hmm. This was chosen for a reason. I don't think they're just going to put it in there to kind of finish her story. There's always a reason. They don't make one-offs. Marvel doesn't make a one-off and then just abandon it. So there's a post-credit scene. There's something that's going to be a bombshell. I don't think that they're going to wait. If it's something that's that big, I don't think they're going to wait.
If it's just a post-credit scene, though, they can put the post-credit scene at the end of WandaVision or at the end of Winter Soldier. And I think what they're also very smart with is finding a way to take characters that should not appear again because they died or something else happened to them and finding a way to use them that still makes sense. So they don't want to lose Scarlett Johansson. They don't want to lose Black Widow. She's such a strong female character, especially in this, you know, the state of the world. You want to have those strong female characters. So of course, if they can use her, they're going to, because they know they're going to get the Marvel base and they know they're going to get that strong female comic book base, which is huge now. There's a comic books were, you know, let's face it, they were for boys at some point. They're for everybody now, and it's awesome that they're for everybody. And all the different, you're also going to see so many different superheroes of all different ethnicities that are going to come out of this and stuff. It's going to be awesome. It's awesome.
Well, it doesn't hurt that they cast beautiful people in these roles either. Well, you know, like you may not have, hey, listen, I'm not going to go and buy myself a Captain America comic if I'm using my wife as reference. But you know what? I can watch a movie with Chris Evans. I that's America's, you know what, right there.
Of course.
So, all right. So I have a game for you. The game is based on Marvel. So James and Sarah have a game that we just premiered this week on this Diz Life Network. It's called the Disney Bunch. Dwayne asked me how to prepare for the Disney Bunch, and I said, take something you love and throw it in the garbage. And then that will emotionally prepare you for what James and Sarah ultimately ask us to do on the show.
Okay.
They present you with two things. They're tough choices. And in some cases, like, they hit me with all these Star Wars things, and I had to walk off because I was like, I can't choose this. Like, you're asking me to like rip off one arm or another at this point.
You know, it's funny. I'm curious. I hope I eat these words because it would be funny to watch me cry, but I'm usually pretty logical that in my head, I make a very quick pros cons list. And then an answer. If I take my heart out of it, there's an answer. Usually I'm like, it's gotta be that one.
Okay. So you might do exceedingly well.
Or I'm going to cry. I hope you hit me with something like pick one of your children. I'm like, no. You know, like something like that. I'll lose it.
All right. Ready? Here we go. So all Marvel based. The first one, you can kind of guess where I'm going with this one.
Okay.
It's cliche. It's really popular. It's like an Edward or Jacob kind of thing.
Okay.
So team Cap or team Iron Man?
I'm going to be honest. That is a rough one. I am going to take Iron Man because I've always felt I related to Iron Man more.
So during Civil War, I related more with him. Then after the Infinity Saga, I went back and now I'm totally Team Cap.
Okay.
I was always Team Tony. Like, I was mad at Captain America during that movie. And then after Infinity Saga wrapped up and him wielding Mjolnir and all that, I was like, yo, sign me up,
Cap. I love Captain America. I love Tony's story. If anybody ever wants it too, we dressed as the Avengers one year as a family, and I did everything. I did the hair, I did the goatee like Tony Stark. I did everything. It was awesome.
Amazing.
I do have this right here.
That's it.
Oh yeah.
That's it right there.
I never know. But overall, I love Iron Man. I appreciate him basically being intelligent and working his way up to invent these things and create these things and in theory save the world. I know I backtracked a little on that. We shouldn't talk about it here yesterday with one of my comments on Marvel Monday.
Yeah.
But him, I mean, yeah, he just did the ultimate thing. I love Captain America. Like, I got nothing against him, but if I, your gun to my head, I got to pick Tony.
Nothing but love for both of them. This one I thought would probably be harder, but now after having talked to Marvel now for 25 to 30 minutes,
okay.
I should have rethought this one. So if you had to eliminate an entire storyline, would you eliminate Guardians of the Galaxy or Thor, all of them?
Or Thor, all
throw
of them.
One away.
Totally. Yeah.
Totally.
But now, does that take Thanos out of it? Does he count as their storyline?
Just those movies. So if you got to get rid of... No. Because we get them everywhere. But if you had to get rid of the Guardians of the Galaxy or Thor, speaking of cosmic superheroes, who would you get rid of?
Oh, my God.
Because it's monster.
Well, it is rough because... And the Guardians are so many, and I'm thinking of everything they got with it. But God, I love Thor, especially... Ragnarok through Infinity Saga Thor. So as hard as this is to say, and you know what else you're killing me with? It means I'm throwing away a lot of 70s music, which is that would be. Oh my goodness! All right, I hate that I have to say it, but I'm keeping Thor.
I'm keeping Thor too.
Yeah, I gotta keep Thor, especially since you know I haven't cut my hair in almost a full year now.
You're pushing Thor status right now.
If I don't get in shape by Halloween, I'm going as Fat Thor.
Oh, melted ice cream Thor.
If I don't get in shape by Halloween, you're gonna see melted ice cream piano Rob. That's what you're gonna see Halloween.
That's amazing. I have to. You did surprise me. I thought you might have gone with Guardians.
It's closer. These are all closer than I thought because I didn't. You know, when you put the this or that, but it's like I said. When I think, I'm just picturing. I could pick one scene here and there of what I'm picturing. I'm picturing Thor come in Infinity War when he comes into Wakanda and does stuff like that. I'm not getting those. There's moments that I could never get rid of those. Those that's bigger to me than Guardians of the Galaxy.
Fair enough. All right, who would you rather have as your personal bodyguard, Doctor Strange or the Hulk?
Ooh, I like that you're giving me stuff to think about. These are great questions. Doctor Strange has certain things, but the Hulk's not. I'm gonna say Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Logically, I think that he'll be neater. If we have a problem, instead of him breaking my whole house or something, we just gotta, you know, and we're out. Just a little sparkly thing.
See, you played that perfectly. Played that perfectly.
It's a lot. I told you, I can think with my brain. Like with Doctor Strange, it'd be like, listen, man, I know this gig is 6 hours away. Instead of me having to drive, can we just do this and I could leave 10 minutes before the, like stuff like that is how I think.
And I feel like if things did get out of hand and the house got wrecked or whatnot, he has those mystic arts powers that he can always put stuff back together pretty quick.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. It's a no mess. He's the no mess bodyguard.
The amount of food I'd have to buy for the Hulk and then the room, he couldn't even fit through my door here. I don't even know what I would do.
I like it. It works. So if you were a henchman, okay. If you had to be second fiddle to someone, would you rather serve Loki or Thanos?
Loki.
That's it. Dude. Yeah, that's it.
And again, I'm going to tell you why. Thanos, if you cross him, you are done. Whereas I feel like with Loki, I'm a jokester. He's a jokester. I think we could have a little bit of fun, and I would work well with him.
I think he'd be cool to hang out with too.
Yes, I think he'd be.
As long as you don't make him do Get Help, he'll be a good friend.
He would make me do Get Help, which would be even better.
No, I'm not doing Get Help. I'm not doing it. It's embarrassing. Not doing it. That movie's so good.
It is. The writing in that one went to another level on that third Thor.
I love Taika Waititi. I love Taika Waititi.
Ragnarok might be my favorite Marvel Universe movie. If I had to pick one, how do you pick one? But if you have to take one out and pick it, it might be that one.
It changes for me from week to week and month to month. And that one's always in the top three for me. And depending on how close it is to the viewing, yes, there's times I'll put it in my top.
Mm-hmm.
As my top. All right, last one.
Okay.
If you could have any Infinity Stone,
okay,
which one would you choose and why?
Okay. You know, I'm thinking about all of them. That's what I have to think. We got reality, we got power, we got mind, we got the Tesseract, the Soul Stone. I don't want that one. It comes with too much power.
Yeah, no one's picking the Soul Stone.
What did I forget?
Did you do the Time Stone?
I didn't do the Time Stone. Okay. I think I'm taking reality, but I just want to make sure that that's what I'm digging with. I'm pretty sure I'm taking the reality stone Because okay. Being able to make what you want to see, what other people want to see, whatever, that to me is the power. And honestly, it ties in perfectly because that's the same reason I love WandaVision. It's the point of making reality what it needs to be. That to me is a power above.
Okay, but all here's else. So. But here's my counter to that. But go it's ahead. Not.
I want the counter.
But it's not real. I would take the time stone, and here's why.
Okay.
Because if I ever screwed up, or like, let's say whatever I wanted. So let's say I wanted to be a millionaire. Instead of me creating the illusion of me being a millionaire,
yeah,
I could use my manipulation of time to then go back and like invest in Yahoo or invest in Google when it started. And then I could start it again. Boom, I'm a millionaire. Or if I get to the end of my life and I'm like, man, that was a great 80 years.
Okay.
Let's do it again. Let's back it up.
I appreciate that. The one thing I will say with that one thing, I truly believe what makes life special or anything special is that it doesn't last. It ends.
You got me. So all right, I lost. You got me.
But I got one more. Do you know my favorite movie of all time? I think you do. We may have discussed it, but I don't know if you remember it. My all-time favorite movie.
It's not coming to me right now. You're going to say it. I'm going to say yes.
Back to the Future.
That's it. Yeah.
And because of that,
you told me that
I don't mess with time. I have learned from a very young age. If there's one thing you don't mess with all the way through Endgame, messing with time is bad. So I'm not messing with time. I'd rather mess with reality.
And your parents' hands start disappearing and stuff. It's not good. It's not good.
I'm not messing with time.
You gotta get your friend to join you to like get struck by lightning and, you know, 1.21 gigawatt. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'm wrong. I lose this debate. Piano Rob.
And I don't want to bring him up, but that Elijah Wood's in that movie too. So I don't want to bring him up.
Thanks for that. That pour some salt in that wound, my friend. I don't think I've ever shared that storyline. So people are like, what the hell is he talking about?
You know right what? Now? I hope that people randomly make Elijah Wood references, and then 10 years, 15 years down the line, you really. I think, Mark, can I tell you? Since you've told me about Elijah Wood, every time I see you, I want to make a joke, and it's hard because I don't know how you take it. But in my head, it's so funny.
It's fun. It is funny. I have a good. I kid. I have a good sense of humor. So the Cliff Notes version of this for people who are like, I don't understand the Elijah Wood reference. Rob and I were talking about all kinds of stuff in the past and whatnot. I spent some time in New York City, trying to get into film and auditioning and as a professional actor. So I always found myself because we had very similar looks. And whenever they would put out for a casting call, they would say, you know, brown hairs, like certain height, certain build, certain weight. Elijah Wood and I had a lot of very common character traits. So whenever I would go and audition for film, generally Elijah Wood would be there and he would always get the part. So I always joke that my career could have taken off if not for Elijah Wood's being so darn lovable and amazing at everything, because he got all the parts that I ever auditioned for. So I joke, and he, very nice guy, you know, and he was dating Lele Sobieski at the time. They're obviously not together, but this is like, I was 19 years old.
It's a while ago, but it's
long just, time ago,
but it's just great.
And just really like really, really nice people. Like they were just the nicest people. So like there's no hate, but there's obviously a friendly rivalry. Dude, this was a lot of fun.
So it's always fun. We could do this every day. I would do it. I don't know who would want to listen to it, but we could do it every day.
James would want to listen to it. To you,
just for dirt. Just for dirt. He doesn't care about what we're saying. He just wants dirt.
He just wants to use the clips against us, James. So I hope that you've enjoyed this episode, and I hope that your roadcaster is filled with all kinds of wonderful things after this wonderful episode with Piano Rob. Rob, it's always amazing having you here at the Tiki Room Studio. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Can I say one more thing? Because if I don't talk about it, I feel bad because he does so much nice stuff for me.
Just one, and that's it. Then I'm cutting you off.
These wonderful, wonderful shirts, a lot of them that I wear from Walrus Carp Clothing Company. Kirk from Walrus Carp Clothing Company makes them. He made a Piano Rob shirt. He's a Northeast boy like you. He lives in Jersey. He's covered in snow right now as well. But I got to say, he got some beautiful, beautiful stuff. If anybody's looking for Disney stuff that not everybody in the park's going to be wearing.
I don't hate it. And send me his link so we can put that in the show notes and the show description. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thank you for hanging out with us. We always love having Rob here. Rob's going to come on. Whenever Rob has time, I could just talk about anything. We could talk about Elijah anything. Wood. Elijah Wood for an hour.
We could talk about music for an hour. We good.
That's it. So thank you so much, especially to James and Sarah. I hope that your Rodecaster is chock full of sound bites for your next episode. Thank you for joining us here in the Tiki Room studio and living your best Diz Life with us all. Don't forget, check us out at www.thisdizlifepodcast.com. Give us a like and a subscribe over on Apple. Check out Rob, as you've been seeing the crawl. Check out Rob. He has his quarantunes on Facebook and over at Instagram. On Instagram, @piano_Rob. Great friend of ours. Great friend of the show. Thank you so much, everybody. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I hope that it's filled with faith, trust, and pixie dust. Rob, we'll see you real soon.
This Diz Life podcast is brought to you by the Happiness is Addictive collection. Happiness is Addictive is passionate about spreading laughter and creating smiles worldwide. They love bringing their global community together through optimism, cheer, hopefulness, merriment, and celebrating life's magical moments. They know how important it is to celebrate life's adventures, and their apparel will give you everlasting, one-of-a-kind memories through pixie-dusted family photos, compliments from park guests, and magical moments with cast members. They pride themselves on high-quality, custom-made apparel at competitive prices with world-class service. Let them help you create a lifetime of memories, whether you're Disney bounding, kicking it poolside, participating in Run Disney marathons, having costumed adventures, or just living your best Disney life. You can find their Happiness is Addictive shop on Etsy. You can also find them on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Pinterest. They are proud to be featured in Indy Central Florida, the Thoughtful Gift Club, and now here on Diz Life Podcast. Their collection was founded by a 15-year former cast member who knows how to enhance your magical moments for a lifetime of memories with your family. Don't forget to use promo code DizLife15 to take an extra 15% off. What are you waiting for? Head over to Etsy and start getting happy today. Follow the link in our show notes and you'll find out for yourself that happiness is addictive.